Hey, well, good morning again, and welcome to LifePoint Church. If you're a guest with us, we want to say a big welcome to you. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm preaching all four services today. Very excited about the content of the message today and what's going to happen at the end of our service. I want to take a moment and say what's up to everybody who's joining us online through our live stream podcast, however you get here around the world. Literally, we love you and thank God for you. And I want to encourage you, listen, if you're part of our online family, we want to give you a spot on the dream team. You can serve on our prayer team. Listen, we have people that pray during every service that we have here at LifePoint Church. They're tucked away in my office, in fact, praying over this service and what God's doing here. You can join our dream team for prayer. You can join our online support campus team. Whatever you want, just join and be a part of what God's doing here. We just love you and thank God for you, as well as all of you that are here in the room. Pastor Bo is preaching the same message at our North Clarksville campus, which meets at West Creek Middle School. And so if you live on that side of town, we'd love to encourage you to be a part of that location. Before I get into the message, I just want to one more time, this is our fourth week in our Growth Track series. I want to make sure everybody's got a copy of our Growth Track book. And today specifically, your Step 4 connection card. If you don't have that, our ushers are coming up the aisles right now. Just raise your hand. Keep your hand up. Even if this is your first time here, you go, what in the world did I step into? Don't worry. We are not going to scare you too bad, okay? Just everybody in the room needs a copy of our Growth Track book and our Step 4 connection card. So raise your hand and make sure that you've got that with you as well. Well, hey, listen, speaking of that connection card, we've been in 4 weeks of the Growth Track material, and every week we've ended with a connection card. The first week was our membership week, where we invite you to join the church and be a part of LifePoint Church. Step two, the second week is our connect to your design and your purpose and how God's wired you and built you. And that week we had you fill out some of your personality assessment and your ministry strengths. The third week, last Sunday, was a talk on leadership and what God designs for us as leaders in the church, that we would be people who make a difference, who have great qualities. How many of you are blessed by the message on the qualities of leadership last Sunday? I know I was, and I hope you were too. And then today, we are going to invite you to join the greatest team at LifePoint Church. It's our dream team. Dream team, can we give it up for those that are coming on this week? Come on now, I'm so excited. Again, keep your hands up. We've got these books coming, and get the books and the cards. And go ahead and start filling out your Step 4 connection card. You can get all your contact information on there. And we want to follow up with you this week. Here's what we're not going to do. We're not going to have everybody go to Teams and do orientations today. We're going to call you. In fact, we're going to email you this week with your next steps based on the team that you check off that you want to connect to this week. And so look for emails on Monday or Tuesday of this week to say, here's your next step to get on a team, whether it's worship team, kid point team, parking lot team, coffee team, production team, whatever team you want to join. Our prayer is that at least 750 of you guys would join our dream team this week. Somebody say amen. Isn't that great, everybody? Hey, so let me talk with you a little bit about what that means for us. And so what it means to be a part of the dream team. If you're not familiar, we have a four-part strategy as a church for what we want to help accomplish in your life. And the first thing that we want for you and for everybody here, we want people to know God. Everybody say, know God. Now listen, if you don't know Jesus, nothing else matters. Every part of your life should be an overflow of your relationship with God. So the first thing we want to help people do is know God. And our Sunday weekend experience is really designed and motivated around helping you know Jesus for the first time, or actually know Jesus better now that you're a follower of Christ. And listen, anybody's welcome to come to LifePoint Church and get their lives wrecked by Jesus. Amen, everybody? So we want to help people know God, and we do that through our weekend service. Second thing we want to do is help people get some help from their baggage and their pain and the realities of their yesterdays. We want to help people find freedom. And how many of you know it's one thing to be saved, it's another thing to be delivered and set free from some stuff? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know some saved people that need some deliverance? Amen, everybody? Don't point at them right now. Just know that they're out there, and you're one of them too, so am I. But we believe that the best way to help you find freedom is in the context of connected relationships, in fellowship with other people in the body of Christ. And so we function for finding freedom. We function with that through our small groups. I think it's God's will that every one of you belong to a life group at our church. And if you're not, I want to encourage you, jump on a group this month. Get into a life group. The third thing we want to help you do is discover your purpose. That's what Growth Track is about. Many of you 2 weeks ago for the first time saw some personality traits and some ministry strengths in your life that you learned some things about yourself and you discovered God's wired me to be a part of his church, to be a part of his kingdom, and you learned some stuff about yourself. How many of you say, I learned something new about myself, or I learned something my wife's been telling me about myself for months, right, everybody? So we want to help you discover your purpose. That's what Growth Track's about, seeing what God's allowed in your life and seen in your life and how he wants to redeem that for his kingdom. And then fourth, we want to put you on a team so that you can make a difference in the lives of others. And this last part is really the focus of today. And I want to tell you, it's not just about being on a team for the sake of being on a team or just serving on a Sunday to kind of check a box. Listen, if you're serving on a team just to check a box, please quit the team for a season and get your heart right. We are not here to just have people filling in holes and plugging gaps. We want you serving because we want to be a church full of difference makers. Can somebody say amen to that? Listen, I don't know about you, but I am committed to living my life in a way that makes a difference for other people. I want to know God. I want to walk in freedom and know who God's called me to be. But listen, I want to live in a way that blesses you, that blesses others. I want to constantly have an eye to the lives of other people so that I can be a blessing to them. Jesus himself said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve other people. How many of you know Jesus was the greatest difference maker ever to walk the planet? And if you want to be more like Jesus, start serving other people. Start being a difference maker in the lives of other people. I think so many of us in the church world, we've got so used to just church being about us and getting fed and making sure our needs are met. Listen, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. All your needs are met. Life may be painful on the way to heaven, but bless God, some glad morning when this life is over, I'm going to fly away. Hallelujah. And I don't know if that's literal, figurative, or if I'm going to catch a jet plane, or if I'm just going to float. I don't care how I get there. I'm just out of here. And my ultimate reward is to be with the Lord forever. I won't have any needs. Ain't no tears in heaven. Ain't no drama in heaven. Ain't no Facebook in heaven. Praise the Lord. But on the way from here to heaven, I want to make a difference in your life. I want to open doors for you. I want to help other people know the same Savior that set me free from some stuff. And in the church world, we've got so used to like, I want a church that feeds me, that I like, that's about me, 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 me. Stop. Jesus didn't die to just build a country club. Jesus gave his life so that those who are far from God would come near to God, and he enlists his followers to make that a reality. So listen, we want to be a church full of difference makers. I don't want to go, this is a true statement, I don't want to go a single week of my life without serving somebody else. Whether it's my kids, my spouse, people that I meet at Starbucks, people that honk at me, people that make me mad, people that make me really excited. I don't wanna go a week of my life without serving people. I wanna stand before the Lord one day and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Notice he doesn't say, well done, good and faithful boss and master and Lord over all kinds of people. It's good and faithful servant. So that's what being on the dream team is about. It gives you kind of lanes to start fleshing that out, not only in your church. I think church is a safe place to learn to serve others. So then you take it to your job, you take it to your cul-de-sac, you take it to your neighborhood or wherever, and you learn to start serving people all the time. Step four, the growth track, is about helping you find the team that best fits your personality, your ministry strengths, your assessment. But it's also about helping you become a person who serves others. Listen, every month, hundreds of people come and serve you and work really hard to create this amazing church experience. In fact, when I talk about our church, I brag on the dream team because honestly, the dream team of this church is the secret sauce that makes this place amazing. How many of you came to LifePoint and you're like, man, these people are freaking nice. They're all over the place smiling. It's like Disney World all the time. Hey, how are you? We're so glad you're here. Have some cookies. Oh, we're so glad to sing to Jesus. Like everybody's nice. It's the secret magic sauce here. And you know, here's the deal. People aren't serving in holes. They're serving in purpose. And when they serve in purpose, man, it's a joy to open doors for you, to wipe your baby's booty. How many of you thank God when you pick up a kid from Kid Point with a freshly changed diaper? Hallelujah. Glory. Shout it down. I was 10 years in diapers from Lucy to Brooklyn. I remember the last day in diapers, man. We had a Holy Ghost hoedown, man. It was crazy. We were shouting. I took that stroller and I chucked it in the dumpster. When we got rid of stroller life. Anybody know what I'm talking about up in here? Woo! I'm way off my notes. But we want to be a church full of difference makers. Whether you're rocking babies, greeting at the door, handing out bulletins, we want to make a difference in the lives of other people. And I'm telling you, that's the magnetic part of this church. I can't tell you how many times I've had people come in here and say, I've never been to a place like this before. Here's the deal. I preach the same Bible. I don't have a secret Bible with other codes in it. I preach the same Bible. We buy the same smoke maker as other churches. We got the same freezing cold auditorium. But there's something when your culture makes sense and it's attractive and people are flowing in their gifts. Anybody know the difference between when grandma cooks versus when mama cooks? You know what I'm saying? Like my mama could throw down. My mom could order some food. You know what I'm talking about, right? I love my mom, but she did not get that gene. You know what I'm saying? She got the hard work gene from my grandfather. My grandmother could literally take three ingredients and make it into a feast. When she's flowing in her gift, man, she loves what she does. She loves it. It blesses others. And when my mom didn't flow in that gift, everybody hated it. Like, we starved. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm totally picking on my mom. I'm sorry, Mom. I love you. Happy Mother's Day. One of the things we don't do here is start ministries. We start teams based on your dreams, based on what God's put in you. There's a team on in our church. It's brand new. It's on the card in front of you. It's called our Skilled Labor Dream Team. And I'm just so proud of what God's doing through this team. In fact, Wes is a guy in our church. He and his family are here. They're awesome members of our church. They've been here a year and a half or so. And Wes was part of our serve day in July. And Wes is one of those go-get-it kind of guys anyway. Works for the city. And serve day in July happened, and we're serving all over the city. We got hundreds of volunteers, like 500 volunteers out serving all over the city. And he comes to me and he goes, Pastor Mike, man, why don't we just do this every month? And I'm like, why don't you do this every month? See, what happens a lot of times in churches, people come to the pastor with great ideas. They go, Pastor, I got a great idea for you. Here's what we need in our church. Go start it. And I'll look you right in the face and go, that's a great idea. You want to do it? And people go, you know, it's not that great of an idea anyway. It's probably not going to work. So that's why we don't start ministries. There's tons of great ideas, but I don't have the margin or the brain power to start all the ideas that you guys have. But here's what happens. God will birth a dream in you, and we as a church will come around that, and we'll help build a team around the dream that God put in you. That's why we call it the dream team. So Wes says to me, he goes, hey, let's do this serve day every month. I go, sweet, let's do it. He goes, I'll take care of it all. I was like, sweet, let's do that. Calls me up later and he's like, okay, I got a plan, an action plan. He shows me all these spreadsheets and it all of a sudden doesn't make sense to me. And he goes, I got a team. We're going to call it the Skilled Labor Dream Team. And he said, we're going to go out once a month and we're going to serve our city and neighbors in need and shut-ins and widows and orphans and people that have needs. Things like they need their microwave reinstalled. They need a deck put on their house. They need a service ramp put on their house. And we're just going to do it. And we're going to put a team together. And anybody that's got skilled labor traits, you can cut some wood. You're an electrician. You got all these skills that just real, you give us a weekend a month. Or maybe twice a year, three times a year. And then he said, man, this is going to be the best team ever. You know, and for him, he's super passionate about it all the time. You'll see him out on the patio with a tool belt on because he wants you to see. And then he said, I'm going to get some money for this. I'm like, I'm loving this team. He calls the city. And the city goes, we've got a whole list of projects with no laborers. And I got 20 grand a year we'll give you to do it. So he calls me up. He's like, the city's going to give us $20,000 every year to do projects that no one else is signing up to do. There's something about getting in lines that nobody else is in to make a difference in the lives of people. And you know what had happened? It was a dream that guy had in him that's now one of our dream teams. I don't ever want to go a week in my life without serving people. Being a difference maker, and that's what I'm calling you forward in. Listen, let's become difference makers here. Listen, Jesus talked about it in the parable of the sower. I want to teach from this, and then we're going to fill in the blanks on page 66. All the type C personalities are like, get to the blanks. Get to the blanks. All the D people are like, are there cookies out front? I saw cookies. All the I personalities are like, oh, this day is fun. I can feel it. The S people are going, what time are we getting out of here? I love the blend of personalities in our church. Somebody emailed me, said I was picking on the S's and C's. I'm not picking on you. Yes, I am, because I love you and I need you. But listen, Matthew chapter 13, Jesus taught this incredible parable. Now listen, Jesus never told us in the Gospels how to do church. And I got to tell you, there's some Christians out there that believe they've got the market on how to do church. They think they know the holy way of doing church. You need hymns, stained glass, or you need smoke and blue lights, or you need cold air. That's how we do church here. That's just what we do. Jesus never told us how to do church. He just told us how the church should feel. You go read the Gospels, you go read the parables, and he would say, the kingdom of God is like this. and he'd describe how it feels to belong to the church and to belong to God's kingdom. And one of those parables, one of the very few parables that he explained to the disciples, was the parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13. You know, Jesus preached some killer sermons. And I love kind of thinking through how Matthew 13 happened. The disciples were in the crowd, probably amening the fire out of Jesus, going, amen, come on, preach it. Preach Jesus, hallelujah. And then they pull him aside and they're like, Jesus, that sermon was so good. What was that even about? Anybody ever leave here on a Sunday and be like, man, Mike was bringing it? I have no idea what that was about. I hope that doesn't happen. But the disciples come to Jesus. They're like, okay, man, you taught the parable. I get it. Sower, I'm a fisherman. I'm a tax collector. I don't know farming. What were you even talking about? So Matthew 13, Jesus says, kingdom of heaven's like this. And he said, a sower, which is a farmer, a seed sower, a spreader, a sower goes out to sow seed. And as he sowed the seed, some of it fell along a path or a sidewalk or a cart path, really hard ground. And the birds came and devoured those seeds. Other seeds fell along rocky ground. And when it fell among the rocks, it didn't have a lot of soil under the rocks, and the seeds immediately sprang up. But since they didn't have any soil depth, when the sun rose, the seeds were scorched. And since they didn't have any root, the plant withered away. Same seed, by the way, same sower. Other seeds fell among thorns, and those thorns grew up with the seed and choked the life out of the seed. He said other seeds fell among good soil and produced grain. That produced 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Then he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples go, okay, what are you talking about, Jesus? So then he explains the parable starting in verse 18. He goes, listen to the parable of the sower again. Now he slows down and he explains it. Watch what he does. He says, when anybody hears the word of the kingdom of God and doesn't understand it. So now he's describing the characters in the parable. The first one is the sower. Notice in the parable, the sower never changes. He said, a sower goes out to sow seed. And he's just scattering it in all these different places. And it lands on the sidewalk, lands in stones, lands in thorns, lands in good soil. He said, his sower's just scattering seed. And then he describes there's a seed. Now, this seed, he said, whoever hears the word of the kingdom. How many of you know the word of the kingdom of God is the seed that we sow at this church? There's no other seed. There's one seed. It's the word of God that we preach and proclaim here because we believe in it is life and it'll transform you forever. So there's one type of seed and there's one sower in the parable, but there's four types of soil. He said the sower goes out and he sows the seed, and then there's all these different soil types. The first one, some of the seed, when it falls, they hear the word of the kingdom, but it doesn't understand it. It's like the one falling on a path. The evil one comes and snatches away what's been sown in the heart. This is what's sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the person. Listen to what he says. He's saying this is the person who hears the word. The word is the seed sown by a sower. He hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. And boom, it's like it takes root and it starts to shoot up a plant. Anybody ever seen riprap in a ditch? You ever seen it like covered in weeds, right? He said it immediately fills up with it takes root and they immediately, they hear it and receive it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, no good soil, and endures for a while. And watch this. Then when tribulation or persecutions arise, how many of you know it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when, right, everybody? When the pain of life comes, you lose a job, you lose a friendship, something happens in your physical health. When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Why? Because he had no root. Remember I said I'm calling you forward to grow your roots, everybody? Come on, somebody. I'm preaching. The third, he said, as for what's sown among thorns, this is the person. So he's describing that the soil is analogy for the people that are hearing the seed sown by sowers. By the way, all of you are sowers. And my chief job at this church is to be a sower. And the only thing I sow is the seed of the word of God. We're going to preach the Bible. Come on, somebody. He said, as for the person that's sown among thorns, this is the person who hears the word and it takes root and it begins to grow. But the cares of the world, listen to this, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches intertwine with it and choke the word and it proves unfruitful. Man, this is a person who's hungry for Jesus, but like the cares of money and success and family dynamics or pain of physical health, like you just get so inundated with the cares of your life and your world. In fact, some of us are here today because we're carrying so much care of this world stuff That we're just here to offload it, hoping Jesus would show up and take it from us. He said some of the seed among thorns is the one who the cares of the world choke it out. And then as for what's sown on good soil, this is the person who hears the word, understand it, and then listen, he bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 30-fold, another 60-fold. Here's the reality of this parable. The seed in any farming is very cheap. In fact, if you hold it from last year, it's free. It's included in your yield. But otherwise, seed is pretty cheap in farming. The sower is free if you own the farm. And it's even freer if you have kids. Come on, somebody. That's why farmers love making babies. Free labor. You're 6 years old, girl. Get out there and farm. Seed is cheap and the sower is free. But listen, all the expense, all the energy in yielding a crop, all the energy of harvest is actually... The highest cost is in the work to get the dirt ready, in the machinery, in the time, in the labor to get the weeds out, to get the rocks out, to get the dirt turned over. And we as a church believe that our greatest expense, our greatest effort as a team is to be the people who are turning the rocks, turning the soil, turning the dirt in the hearts of all types of people that are coming into this church. There are folks that are coming in that are hard-hearted, they're antagonistic towards God, they're mad at God, they're bitter at God's people, and they're coming in with a hard heart. Somebody drug them in or tricked them in. Hey, let's go to breakfast at Cracker Barrel. Whoops, we go into church. And they're coming in all hard-hearted. And they come in cold and resistant to the gospel. And when you open that door, all of a sudden you begin to crack the hardness of their heart. When you hand them cookies, come on somebody, everybody gets happy about some cookies in Jesus' name. They're hard-hearted. They're averse. And God's saying, look, these kinds of people are coming. Keep scattering the seed, keep sowing, but listen, get the dirt ready first. That's why we open doors. That's why we rock their babies, because these hard-hearted people need to know that somebody loves them, somebody cares for them, somebody feels it's their purpose and their calling to serve them so that their heart can receive the word of God. There are people coming in our church that are like piles of rocks. You throw seed on, it'll spring up quickly, but there's no root in them. They don't understand how to be rooted in family, rooted in the body, discipled and belonging to this thing. And so we're slowly removing rocks by going, hey, get over here. Let me put my arm around you. Hey, let me love on you. Let me call you this week. Hey, let me make room for you in my life so that you've got roots in you and these rocks and these stones are coming out of you so that the word of God will bear fruit in your life. Why do we serve on a team? Because it's removing the rocks. It's breaking the ground. And there's people coming in here with cares of the world. Anybody know what I'm talking about, the cares of the world? Man, where am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to take care of my family? I'm physically sick. I can't stand what's happening in Washington. I can't decide if I hate CNN or Fox News more. I can't decide on Facebook is the devil. Come on, somebody. We got the cares of the world choking out what God wants to do in us. And so we serve these people, and we go, let me get those weeds out of your life. Hey, come on, take a week off of Facebook. In Jesus' name, be set free. Let me get these weeds out of your life. Hey, you're discouraged? Let me pray for you. You're dealing with some health. I met a young couple last Sunday. They just had a baby. I said, how y'all doing? She goes, fine. I go, mama, how you doing? You sleeping at night? She goes, nope, we're on a two-hour routine. I was like, Jesus, help them. So I prayed over them. And I put my hands around both the parents and the babies there. And I said, God, bless this new mama. Help her heal well. I pray for this baby. And Lord, I pray this baby would sleep all night in Jesus' name. So they came up to me this morning. That was last Sunday. They go, Pastor, you'll never believe it. My baby slept 6 hours the night you prayed over her. You know what that does for her? It pulls the weeds out of her heart, the cares of this world. God, make this baby go to sleep in Jesus' name. It pulls the weeds out of that mama's life so that she can rest and she can hear the word of God and it makes sense in her life. Listen, I don't know what you're carrying. I don't know how deep or shallow you are, and I don't know how hard-hearted you are, but we are a team who's here to bust the ground in your life to make room for Jesus to get a hold of you. Anybody's welcome here to get wrecked by God and have their life changed by Jesus. Here's the deal. The seed never changes. We're not backing off the Bible. We're not backing off the gospel. And we're all sowers here, but my job is when you get in this room, I'm going to bring it. But your job is to get the dirt ready in the lives of people. So when I throw this seed, man, they give their lives to Jesus for real. That ain't no short time lover. Ain't no Stevie Wonder song. Part time lover. Did it do do do. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you are like, I don't remember that on my Flash to the 90s Time magazine CD. It went on that one. Okay. Gotta go back. We're not trying to get people crisis saved. We want people devoted to Jesus. And it's a team effort. So this is why we put you on the dream team. Because you're getting the hearts of people ready to receive the word of God. All of you have experienced it when you come here. All of you let your guard down when you walk on this property. That parking lot dude's out there waving at you, helping you get parked. First time guest, they give you your own spot near the front. And then they give you some cookies. Hallelujah. All of that's about getting you ready to hear from God. We got a bunch of people that serve on this team. And listen, not only does it make a difference in other people's lives, but it will change you. Check this out.
Serving on a dream team has brought me so much joy because I get to serve God by serving others.
Serving on a dream team has impacted me because I get to see people be changed through what I do. And it's just great seeing how many lives are getting impacted every week.
Being on a dream team has been extremely fulfilling. I've built relationships with so many people, and helping to serve others has helped me serve the Lord in ways that I could never imagine.
Through serving on a dream team, I found my best friend. You're welcome.
I love being on the skilled labor dream team. We're able to show others the love of Jesus in hopes that they'll pass that love on to somebody else.
Serving on a dream team is exciting because I know that I'm not only impacting the lives of the preschoolers I work with, but also the lives of their parents because they know that their kids are learning about Jesus too. And it's always fun to serve with my friends.
Being one of the members of the Grow Track team has been such an awesome experience. It's given me the opportunity to be more of a shepherd to people instead of just one of the flock.
Serving on a dream team has helped me rediscover my purpose.
One of the things I love most about serving on a dream team is being with the student ministry and being able to spike on these young teenagers when they try me in non-square. They think because I'm short, that they can just come at me. I'm like, nah.
Yeah, and I'm the one that have to deal with his knees and his back from all the dunking on the kids.
Serving on a dream team has given me the courage to just share my love of God with others so that they can experience the same love that I experienced when I walked into the doors of Life Point Church.
I like serving on a dream team because I like impacting kids and Kid Point.
That's
my
girl.
The greatest impact being on a dream team has had on my life, it has served as a barrier breaker for fellowship amongst other members within the church.
Yeah.
And Jesus was a volunteer, so go Vols.
Serving on a dream team has made me realize that God's using my gift to help others in a way that you would think is minuscule, but it's impacted a lot of people, and it's cool to know God's using you in ways that you didn't know before, so.
Best thing about being on a dream team is you get all the free Slim Jims you want upstairs.
Dream team has impacted my life in so many ways, but especially in growth, because I see growth in myself, growth in my family, and growth in the church when people bring their friends, their spouses, their coworkers, their children to Growth Track to help build the church.
No, you were made for this. No, but you were made for this.
As every one of you has received a gift, look at this. You're all gifted. Say, I'm gifted. Come on, the rest of you, just pretend. Say, I'm gifted. As each of you has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Listen, please don't hoard your gift only to yourself. Don't build your own kingdom. Build God's kingdom. If you're good with money, be good with money for others. Teach others how to be good. If you're good with kids, be good with these kids. If you're a teacher, teach us. If you're a worshiper, lead us in worship. Use your gift to serve others as good stewards of God's varied graces. Page 66, I want to give you these real quick. Then we're going to do some giveaways here. Get that card out and get it filled out. And let me help you with this on page 66. First thing we say here is that I want to make a difference. Come on, somebody. How many of you say, I want to be a difference maker? Listen, you'll never be fully satisfied if you don't make way for other people to have the blessing of God in their life. God's already wired you to let your life count for the sake of others. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:9, God saves us, then he calls us to this holy work. So not only does he save you, but he calls you to work. He calls you to do something with your salvation. We had nothing to do with it. You're not that creative, right? God saves us and then uses us. It was all his idea, a gift prepared for us in Jesus long before we knew anything about it. Praise God that he has always planned for you to be a part of his kingdom. By the way, how humbling is it to know that God is building the expanse of his kingdom and he's inviting you to be a part of it? I want to make a difference. Second is I want to make a difference doing something that makes a difference. How many of you ever been a part of something that's just dull, boring, and you feel like, why in the world am I doing this? I feel like I'm not making any change in anybody's life ever. I remember at 15 years old, I got a W-2 job. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the difference in working than getting a W-2. And I was working at Penny's during Christmas, J.C. Penny. During Christmas, I was in the sports department because I'm super athletic. I don't know why they did that. And it was selling sports apparel. And I remember I would spend most of my days folding clothes, folding sweatshirts and jerseys and pants. And I'd get one table done, and then I'd go over here and do the next table and start folding it, and people start rummaging through that. And then I look over there, and they jack my table up again. So I'd go over here, and I'd fold this table again. While I'm at this table, that other table and that shelf over there, they're all crooked. It's supposed to be smalls, then the mediums, then the larges, then the man size. And they'd mess it all up. Man, working in that environment, I felt like I was making no difference for nobody, just spinning my wheels. But I want to be a part of something that makes a difference. Some people love that kind of work, but I couldn't do it. I want to be about something that's, everybody say this word with me, say eternal. Can you believe that heaven is going to be more populated because of what you do to make a difference in the lives of people? Heaven's going to be different. I mean, can you imagine one day God saying, well done, guys. Look, there's 38 people that are here because of your effort. God's going to go, man, thank you. Thank you for being a part of this. I planned for this for you from before you were even born. Hey, because of what you did, there's 158 people that are in heaven because you just got up early and served. You made a difference. You joined the team. You gave your life away to make a difference for other people. Listen, if we'll take care of people, it's not enough to just feed people and give them clothes. If we don't give them Jesus, we haven't done enough. There's no social justice without spiritual justice. We got to use every opportunity we can to point people to Jesus, get their hearts ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 said, anybody who builds on that foundation with gold, silver, jewels, hay, or straw, on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value at all. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. How many of you know we want what we do to count for something eternal? But then he said, if the work is burned up, in that last day, the work that we've given our whole lives to, if it all just burns away, the builder will suffer great loss. You'll be saved. Like, he ain't going to send you to hell because you don't do eternal things. But he said, look, you're going to lose everything. You'll be saved, but it's going to be like somebody who just barely escaped through a wall of flames. I want my life to count for something eternal. Somebody say eternal. And finally, I want to do it with others who want to make a difference with us. Anybody been on a team with people all going the same way? That's what our dream team is. We are all on board for the same thing. We're after the same goal. We want to see people far from God know Jesus. We want to see people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. God's doing something special here, and we invite every single one of you here to join the team, be a part of making a difference that's eternal, and do it with others. Ecclesiastes 4 says, two are better than one because they have a better return for their toil. Listen, you're going to join a team. We're going to invite you today, right now. Get those cards out. And we're going to invite you to connect to those connection cards, figure out one, two, or three different areas that you would say, you know what, I feel like God has put these areas in my life. We've got the serve team. We've got the Kid Point team. We've got parking lot team. We've got the special projects team. We've got a team called our legacy team. These are people who God's blessed financially, and they say, I want to fund the work of ministry. I want to give big dollars to the advancement of the kingdom. That's our legacy team. We've got teams for everybody here, and we want to ask every single one of you in the room to fill out that card and check one to three boxes that you're interested in. And we're going to follow up. Here's what's going to happen. Starting tomorrow, please write legibly. Starting tomorrow, we're going to follow up with you by email first and phone calls as well, and we're going to give you your next steps. There's an orientation. There's a process for you to get trained, and many of you, listen, guys, this is exciting. Many of you will be serving and on the team as soon as next Sunday. I think that is incredible and exciting news for you guys. So excited for you. So I'm going to ask everybody to do me a favor. Fill this card out. Our ushers are coming in, and we want to collect those cards in just a moment. I got to ask you three simple questions first. Number one, before you get on a team, have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? Now listen to me. If you're not a follower of Christ, don't join our teams yet. I want you to join Jesus before you join the team. I want you to know Christ. I want you to be saved. I want you to have a relationship with the God of eternity. So the first question for you is, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Second, have you been baptized in water yet? And I'm going to tell you something. Next Sunday is our baptism Sunday. We would love for you to be baptized if you've never been baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ. Third question is, are you a member here? Now, it's not required that you be a member of LifePoint Church to serve on our Dream Team, but we certainly want you to get the DNA and the values of LifePoint Church Dream Team and the DNA of our church. And so membership is how we do that. That's step one of our growth track. We did that 4 weeks ago. In fact, if you did not get that membership card turned in, you can do that today as well. And I do want to give a warning. This isn't a warning. This is great. For anybody at all who works with students, children, or minors 18 years and older, anyone who works with minors, we will do a background check on you. Because I'm more concerned about protecting our kids than taking care of your secrets. Come on, somebody. We're not going to protect that. We're going to make sure that everybody working with kids is safe and background checked. On every other team, criminals, come on. We're ready for you. We don't care. Like, get on the team. But here's the deal. Like, nothing that you've got in your past will disqualify you. It'll actually give room for you to get healed and to find freedom and to find grace in Jesus. Listen, God will settle your yesterdays. Give him room to do that. But if you're going to work with kids, we are going to give you a background check. And everybody with kids said amen. 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 That's right. Even 17-year-olds, we're going to protect them. We want to look out for the kids. This is not a place for people to get squirrely. So we're going to check you out. We're going to get you delivered. We may need to hold you down in the water a little longer. Baptize them in Jesus' name. I know that's not the case here, so I'm having a little bit of fun. But honestly, we're living in a day where scandals everywhere, and people are accused of all kinds of stuff. And let me just say this for you. If any one of you is in a position of being an abused person, I challenge you to step up and say something, and we will stand with you as a church. But there's no room for abuse, for victimization. Yeah, you guys are good. Hey, we're going to take those cards. You're good right there. There's no room for that. And in the body of Christ, we're going to let Jesus heal us, and we're going to let Jesus expose you who are an assailant and an abuser. Jesus said what's done in secret, God will bring to light. And so, I just watch the news, and I'm constantly amazed at what God is doing to reveal the scandalous business that's happening around. And listen, we as a church, we will stand to see you set free and delivered as an abuser. And if you're a victim, we want to help you get healed in Jesus' name. Say something. All right, that had nothing to do with my message. Last thing we're going to do is get your cards ready. How many got your cards ready? Seven people. All right, let's do this. Get your cards ready. I'm going to invite our new Central Ministries pastor, Pastor Mark Delaney. He oversees all of our pastoral staff. And I want him to come up here and help me with something real quick. Everybody say, what's up, Pastor Mark?
What's up?
If you don't know this about Mark, he's the fun guy on the staff when it comes to parties and giveaways, and so he's got some stuff for us today. What you got?
We got some t-shirts, and this has a free item for the cafe. So, and here's the thing. If it doesn't fit you, every shirt fits you if you just cut it up the sides. It's a poncho then, so.
Yeah, that's right.
It works. Ready? Here. Boom. Boom. Back over here. Boom.
Right by the door.
There, ready?
All right. That was terrible.
Here, let's see how far we can throw it. Come on.
All right.
Get one.
All right, let's go up to the back wall.
All the way to the ready? Back wall? All right.
One, two, three. Bah!
Ow!
Totally missed. Landed on the TV. What you know about it?
Here, one more. Close.
All right, I got mugs.
There.
Who wants a mug?
I'm just, no. Now.
I can't throw mugs.
Wait. Don't collect those cards just yet. If there's somebody at the top that's got a card filled out, we've got $20 gift cards for them.
For a race?
But they got to get down here.
From
they
the got to
get down here.
You got your card filled out. Get down here.
From the top.
$20.
Come on.
Hey, wait, you're already on the Dream Team.
Got it.
Here you go, my man.
Got it.
Hey, wait, I need your card.
Wait.
I bought that.
I think I got more. I got more.
She got flip-flops on.
They're $10 ones. We still got... I got all three. Right, Pastor Mike's
come
got
on,
three. Anybody.
I'll buy your card. I got $10. Come on, race up here.
There you go. There you go.
I need your card.
There you go.
My man.
Let's see.
Eat fresh.
What else I got?
$10. Back in the room. Come on. $10. Race up here and give me your card.
I got a bunch of free items for the cafe.
Nobody's racing you. Just come on.
But somebody's got to bring me one. I got like two or three of these or five or 20. I don't know.
Thank you.
There. Take two of those. That's good. How about mugs? Come on.
We're not throwing them.
I'm not throwing the mug.
We'll hand them.
Not throwing the mug.
There you go. Thank you so much.
Put it in that bucket.
Come on, grab your mug.
Put it in that bucket. Here.
Thank you.
Take that.
Hey, we love to celebrate our teams. This is a big part of our culture here.
Got like two more mugs.
To everybody, thank you so much. Take your card.
Just put it in the bucket.
I'm buying your cards. This is pure bribery. I ain't ashamed.
Here, take that.
That's all I got. All right.
Mug.
Let me see if I got one more. Right here.
I got one more mug. It's the last one I got.
All I have left is there. Mark. I can give him away. Come here, I'll give him away.
I don't know, you gotta fight over it. Arm wrestle. There you go, awesome.
All right. Hey, listen, we love to celebrate. Give it up for Pastor Mark, everybody, woo! Come on. Friday night, we had about 600 of our volunteers here, and we just threw a five-hour party. It was so much fun. We do it once a year. And I'm telling you, I want to enlist every one of you to be a part of the Dream Team here. We love to celebrate what God's doing here, and we love to give things back to you. Thank you so much for your time and your energy and your willingness to serve those people who are coming. How many of you know every type of soil is coming into this church? And we want to be a people on purpose, making a difference in their lives so that they can know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Can you stand with me all around the room? We'll get you out of here. Listen, all of our teams are represented on the patio. If you have questions, you want to go connect with anybody on our team, take your cards, turn them in right now. Come on. I think our buckets are passing around, or are y'all collecting them at the door? Both? All right. Buckets should have passed, and we'll collect them at the door. Let me pray over you. We got hundreds, like literally 3,000 cookies out on the patio for you, so go grab a cookie. Connect to one of our teams and coaches, and we will follow up with you this week. Our prayer team's available. If you need it, Lord, help us to serve you, make a difference. And Lord, we thank you that you would bring many people in this city, in this town, to LifePoint Church and every church in this city so they may know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. We thank you, Lord, for changing this city. Use us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, church. Peace out, everybody.